Jesus offers up a prayer here in John chapter 17, and his disciples are listening in as he prays to the Father. This chapter is called the High Priestly Prayer. Jesus is praying. His disciples hear him pray, "Father, keep them in your name, that they would be one just as we are one." His disciples hear him say this. They hear him pray, "I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world." His disciples hear him say this. They hear him pray, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." Jesus is praying, and his disciples are listening in. The prayers of Jesus are so very comforting, because the more you listen to his prayers, the more you learn about Jesus and about yourself as you listen in. I don't remember the first time that someone prayed over me, that I got to listen in on the prayer. But I know my mom, she prayed while I was still in the womb. She was always praying for me. She tells me she prayed to God to give her a redhead, blue-eyed baby boy. And out I came. And still to this day, she won't let me dye my hair or do anything else to my hair because I prayed for that hair color, she says. But my mom, she was always praying for us. I don't remember the first time she prayed. She still lives a life of prayer. Every morning growing up, you'd go out in the sunroom, and my mom would be there with her portals of prayer opened up in her Bible, praying for us. Still today, she tells me, "I pray for you." But it was at bedtime at night when my mom would pray for us that I remember growing up. And she always used that opportunity to teach us something. It was always her way of guiding us. I had two older brothers, and we had Hot Wheels cars that we would race. And one day I decided I wasn't going to share my Hot Wheels racing cars. I wasn't going to share my toys with my brothers. And so that night, my mom knelt down beside my bed, and I'm laying there in bed, and my mom prayed, "Jesus, help Jesse share his toys tomorrow." I better share my toys tomorrow. That was my mom's way of saying, "You better share your toys." It was like this indirect command, you know. She's praying to God, but she knows I'm listening and hearing her. She did this quite often. Or the time that I didn't eat my green beans for dinner. You know what her prayer was that night. "Jesus, please help Jesse eat his green beans tomorrow. Better eat my green beans tomorrow." I mean, this was mom's way of telling us what to do, because we were listening in on prayer. I'm going to share my toys. I'm going to eat my green beans. I'm going to do this. My mom just prayed to Jesus. He's listening. This is how we use prayer, right, when people are listening in. My first year at Southwest Baptist University, first finals week, Old Testament course I was taking was on the Torah, the Pentateuch. Dr. Bayer, he was Southern Baptist. It was the Pentateuch, the Dr. Bayer. And I still remember his prayer before we had this week break to study. He prayed, "Lord, help the students take seriously the task of study. Recall to mind all that they will work so hard at studying." And you're listening to this prayer thinking, "I better study." You know, you're listening in, you're hearing him. He's giving me hints that this test is going to be hard. I better study. So you walk away. "I'm going to study." It was his way of telling us what to do, right? He's praying to the Father, but he knows we're listening. Or my very first cross-country meet in college. We were at the University of Central Missouri in Warrensburg. The five-minute gun had went off. It was our first cross-country meet. I wanted to puke. I was so nervous. And you run out your first few strides on the grass, and then you huddle up, the men's team. And I still remember the prayer of our coach that day. Sent chills up my spine. We huddle up, and our coach stands in the middle, and he says, "Let us pray. Lord, you called men out to battle throughout the Old Testament. You used men to go out and conquer your enemies. And this chill went up my spine. I'm going to go out and do battle today. I'm going to go leave everything I have out on the course. I'm going to conquer it. I'm going to share my toys, and I'm going to eat my green beans. I didn't say that, but those were going through me. These things are coming. They're just coming out. When people pray, it's like we say, yes, I can. We listen in on prayer, and it stirs us up to these good works. People pray to God, and they know that we're listening in. It's a way of indirectly commanding us. Yes, I can. And if the prayers of people stir us up to good works, well, then how much more do the prayers of our Lord stir us up to good works? He's praying to the Father, and the disciples are listening in as he says, Father, keep them in your name, that they would be one as we are one. Yes, we can. We can be one. Let us strive to be one. One in what we do, and one in what we say, one in what we believe, one faith, one hope, one baptism. Let the body of Christ be one. We should always be striving for unity. We can do this. Yes, we can. The disciples are listening in. Did you hear him? That we would be one. He wants us to be one. This is his way of telling us. He wants us to be one. I've given them your word, Jesus prays, and the world has hated them because they're not of this world. Did you hear him? We're not of this world. Let us be different. We're Christians. We're set apart. We are holy. We are a city on a hill, a light in the darkness. We are different. We're not of this world. Let us be different. He prays, sanctify them in your truth, for your word is truth. Did you hear him? His word is to be our truth. We are to make it the center of our lives, to form and shape and mold us. We are to read, mark, and inwardly digest his word. Let it form and transform us and shape us every day throughout our lives. Yes, we can. Wants us to do this. Yes, the prayers of Jesus, they are very comforting, because the more we listen in on his prayers, the more we learn about Jesus. And that's what struck my soul about this prayer. This prayer is, it's not like the prayer of my mom or my coach or my professor. It's not like the prayer of any other human. His prayers are not indirect commands at you. His prayers are simply requests to his Father for you. He is praying to the Father for us. He is praying for the Father to do these things for us. He is praying to the Father to give these things to us. They're not indirect commands. They're our Lord's prayer for you. Keep them in your name, Father, that they may be one, even as we are one. The Father will do this. It's not up to you, because Jesus prayed it. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. The Father will do this. It's not up to you, because Jesus prayed it. The Father calls you out of darkness, out of this world, into his marvelous light. It's not up to you. Protect them from the evil one. This is Jesus' prayer for you. This is what I love about Jesus' prayers, is it takes everything off of me, and it puts everything on him. He is a prayer like no other, a mediator like no other, a God like no other, a good shepherd like no other. He gives and he gives and he gives and he gives. And he gives his life and he gives his death. He gives his resurrection and he gives his ascension. And he gives his grace and he gives his mercy. He gives his forgiveness and he gives his prayers. His prayers which bring the Lord of heaven and earth stooping down to give his wearisome and blemished sheep rest and holiness. Listen to his prayers for you and see just how much he loves to give. Just how much he loves to pray for you. Listen in and learn more about Jesus and how he prays for you. And also you'll learn more about yourself. You'll learn this ugly tendency within yourself to take everything that Jesus does and says, even the things that he prays, and turn them into more about you. What I do. We listen in to his prayers, and we skip right past what he's praying. what he's actually doing, and we leave simply saying, "Yes, I can." But the response of childlike faith says, "Yes, he does." And we rest in his arms for him to do it. The Lord keeps you in his name. Yes, he does. And the Lord sanctifies you in his word. Not because of what I've done, but because Jesus has promised to do it. We know he's promised it because he's prayed it right here in this prayer that he's allowed us to listen into. And we believe the Father answers the Son's prayers for us because he is the one risen from the dead and ascended at the right hand of God, who sits by his mighty hand, and he lives to be our mediator, continually praying for you. How comforting is it to know that our Lord prays for you day and night? He neither slumbers nor sleeps. He does it all through the powerful working of the Holy Spirit. He's the one who placed his name on you when you were baptized. He keeps you in his name. Yes, he does. He sanctifies you by the word of God, which is being poured into your hearts and in your ears today and throughout your life. Yes, he does. He protects you from the evil one. Yes, he does. And he fills you with all joy in spite of all the suffering and hardships that you face. Yes, he does. Spirit of our Lord, he is the one who calls and gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and the one true faith. It's Jesus' prayer for you that makes us one, that sanctifies you and keeps you in his name. It's not by our efforts or our good deeds or our missteps or even the greatest of our accomplishments. It's all because Jesus prays for you to the Father. And the Father's answer to his Son is always, "Yes, you can." Amen.